Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Tuesday, November 27th, 2018. Coming up this hour,
President Trump signals a likely increase to tariffs on Chinese goods.
Cracks start to show in Italy's budget battle with the EU.
NASDAQ plans a move into Bitcoin futures as cryptocurrencies slump.
And Wall Street awaits remarks from a slew of Fed officials.
Special Counsel Mueller says ex-Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort breached his plea deal. Plus, it's special election day for U.S. Senate seat in Mississippi. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Busy night in local hockey. Rangers won. Devils and Islanders lost. Monday Night Football, eighth win in a row for the Houston Texans. They beat Tennessee.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And U.S. futures are struggling for direction while stocks post modest gains in Europe and Asia. 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 2 points. Dow futures down 6. NASDAQ futures down 16. The DAX in Germany, little change. CAC in Paris up less than 0.1%. And the FTSE 100 is down 0.2%. Nikkei 225 in Japan jumped 0.6%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 3.05%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.83%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.7% or 35 cents to $51.29 a barrel. COMEX gold is little change at $12.28.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.13.13. The yen, 113.64. And this update brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing, providing the latest thought leadership with strategic and actionable insights to help you manage and grow your business. Visit the perspective section of Pershing.com to learn more. Nathan.
Karen, trade is front and center this morning with President Trump signaling he will go ahead with plans to increase tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods. That's if negotiations at this week's G20 meeting fail to produce a trade deal. Bloomberg Chief Asia Economics Correspondent Enda Curran reports from Hong Kong.
There is quite a lot riding on these talks at the G20. But if those talks don't go well, then we're back to where we started and we go back to President Trump increasing existing tariffs and implementing new tariffs. And of course, that will be on a much broader basket of goods, and that will hurt a much wider part of both China's economy and indeed U.S. economy as well.
President Trump tells the Wall Street Journal he's prepared to go ahead with a final round of levies that would impose tariffs on all imports from China.
The hope from Chinese officials is that this week's meeting between President Trump and Xi convinces the U.S. to hold off on any increase in levies for now. John Rowe is head of multi-asset funds at Legal & General.
There's no real sign of capitulation from China so far. So they've cut their U.S. oil imports. They've cut their gas imports from the U.S. It kind of suggests that they feel they can meet them halfway, whereas actually the impact of a trade war on the Chinese economy is far greater than on the U.S.
President Trump says Apple's iPhones and laptops could also be hit by a new round of tariffs that has shares of Apple down 1% in early trading.
Most stocks in Asia gained today despite the latest trade talk. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally reports from Singapore.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The topics rose 0.7% in Tokyo to finish at 1,644 points, while Apple suppliers in the region were mixed. However, Taiwan's tech-heavy TAIEX still managed to close in the black, up by 0.1%. The weakness, though, was felt, as you would expect, in China, the CSI 300 closing slightly lower, while Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index underperformed, as developers took a hit on news the city's housing market is suffering its worst decline since 2016, according to several measures, including new home sales. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. President Trump is also weighing in on Theresa May's Brexit deal, with the EU saying the prime minister's plan could jeopardize Britain's ability to strike a trade agreement with the U.S.
Sounds like a great deal for the EU. I think we have to take a look at seriously whether or not the UK is allowed to trade, because, you know, right now, if you look at the deal, they may not be able to trade with us.
The British pound is weakening this morning, currently trading at $1.2762.
Italy's populist government has so far failed to hash out a new budget deficit target, but cracks are starting to show in its battle with the EU. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The Italian press reporting that the 2019 deficit target, quote, almost certainly will be reduced to 2.2% from 2.4%. The Prime Minister, Conte, has said that the change would indicate $4.1 billion in spending cuts from the original plan. Him and his deputies, Matteo Salvini and Luigi Di Maio, have insisted that the budget issue is not a question of decimal points, but investors seem to disagree. We're seeing the 10-year yield dropping today, touching a two-month low. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thank you. Here in the U.S., we get remarks from several Fed officials today. Bloomberg Daybreak editor Christine Burke has details.
We're going to hear from Vice Chairman Richard Clarida. That's going to be a big one. We also hear from regional presidents Esther George, Raphael Bostic, and Charles Evans. They range from being dovish to hawkish, so there's a lot of potential today for us to hear comments from both sides of the aisle.
And today's comments will be closely watched for the possible trajectory of interest rates amid increased market volatility.
Cryptocurrencies continue to slide, but that's not stopping NASDAQ from pushing ahead with a plan to list Bitcoin futures. Bloomberg's John Tucker's here live with details. Good morning, John.
And Nate, sources tell Bloomberg that NASDAQ has been working to satisfy the concerns of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission before launching the contracts. First reported to be eyeing Bitcoin futures last year, NASDAQ wants to allow trading next quarter. Well, back in January, the chief executive officer, Adina Friedman, said the exchange was weighing how to distinguish its plans from contracts already offered by competitors. The New York Stock Exchange said last week it will launch its own contracts late January. Bitcoin trading has been modest. The digital currency has plunged from around $20,000 to less than $4,000. Right now, it's trading at $3,656. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Google is running the risk of hefty fines from the EU. Seven European consumer organizations are accusing the search engine of abusing tools that track users' location. They plan to file complaints with national regulators who have powers to levy penalties as high as 4% of a company's annual sales. Futures again moving lower. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr and find out what's going on in the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Special counsel Robert Mueller says former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort violated his plea agreement by repeatedly lying to federal investigators in the Russia probe. The rupture of Manafort's deal could expose him to a lengthier prison sentence and potentially more charges. A jury convicted Manafort of bank and tax fraud. President Trump made a last-minute pitch to voters in Mississippi to support Republican Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith in today's runoff election against Democrat Mike Espy. Even though unemployment is low, Trump, on the day General Motors announced plant closings, told a rally and Tupelo businesses are bringing jobs back to the U.S.
For years, you watched as powerful forces in Washington chipped away your jobs. You saw that. You saw that. That's changing. You see what's coming in. So many companies coming in to Mississippi and every place else, by the way.
Senator Hyde-Smith apologized after she said earlier this month that she'd take a front row seat at a public hanging. Bloomberg has learned an increasing number of rich Saudis are moving money out of the kingdom. Bloomberg's Matthew Martin has more from Dubai.
The trend, which began after the arrests of dozens of Saudi billionaires who were accused of corruption by the government in November 2017, has intensified since the murder of Jamal Khashoggi last month. Anxiety among local business tycoons is now spreading to foreign investors. This threatens Saudi Arabia's vision of shifting the economy away from a reliance on oil-fueled government spending to the private sector. In Dubai, Matthew Martin, Bloomberg Daybreak.
A NASA probe that will study the interior of Mars landed successfully on the red planet yesterday. NASA's Bruce Bandert.
This is really something that we're doing as a science team for the world. I mean, the science that we're doing belongs to everybody, and the knowledge that we're going to bring back is going to belong to everybody.
New Jersey moved closer to becoming the 11th state to legalize recreational marijuana. After legislative committees approved bills to end the prohibition and wipe out the criminal records of some drug offenders. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's 5:09 now on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, it was a year ago that then Giants coach Ben McAdoo, saddled with a last place team, made the startling announcement he was benching Eli Manning. It was clumsy, as Eli was offered the chance to still keep his consecutive games played streak intact. It was not well received, lasted just 1 week, and the current coach, Pat Shurmur, made clear no such benching this year.
If you're looking always to put the best team on the field, that has to be Eli at this point as your quarterback going forward, right? I mean, there can't be a scenario where
Eli's going to start the game against the Bears right now.
Yeah.
In a scenario where you would start Alex Tanny rather than starting Kyle Oletta, or is that a situation where
he felt like he was giving us the best chance to win?
What have you seen?
I'm not trying to talk you guys down. I'm really not. I mean, that's the coach's view.
Giants host Chicago Sunday. Jets visit Tennessee. Titans last night were in Houston. Texans won 34-17, their eighth win in a row, all since a loss to the Giants. Jacksonville was the favorite to win that division. The Jaguars have lost seven in a row. They are benching quarterback Blake Bortles for Cody Kessler. They also fired their offensive coordinator. And the NFL suspended Jags running back Leonard Fournette a game for throwing punches on Sunday. At the Garden, Rangers beat Ottawa 4-2. Same two will play again Thursday. The Devils' road woes continue, a 4-3 overtime loss at Florida. Islanders coach Barry Trotz faced the team he coached to the Stanley Cup last season. Washington beat Trotz's Isles 4-1. The Mets hired Jim Riggleman as their bench coach. The Yankees released fan favorite infielder Ronald Torres. First big free agent signing, third baseman Josh Donaldson signed, albeit for only one season with the Atlanta Braves. With a Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. And in other sports news, ABC is joining the NFL draft broadcast business. It's televising all 3 days of picks next April. The network joins ESPN, which is also part of the Disney TV properties, for primetime coverage from Nashville. NFL Network will also televise the draft. Futures contracts looking for direction this morning ahead of the open on Wall Street, with NASDAQ futures little change. Dow futures up by 10 points. NASDAQ futures down by 10 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on this Tuesday morning. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Open a JCF fund now to lock in a 2018 tax deduction. Visit jcfny.org.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, one of the nation's top technological research universities and a leader in next-gen STEM workforce development. Learn more at njit.edu. U.S. stock index futures and European shares little change this morning, while gains in Asian equities were limited after President Trump said he'd likely increase tariffs again on Chinese imports just days before a meeting with his counterpart Xi Jinping. Commodities are retreating, led by copper. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 3 points. Dow futures down 14. NASDAQ futures down 19. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.1% now. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 3.05%. The yield on the two-year, 2.83%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.1% or 4 cents to $51.59 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed at $12.29 an ounce. The euro, $1.1316, and the yen, $1.13.58. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Special Counsel Robert Mueller says former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort violated his plea agreement by repeatedly lying to federal investigators in the Russia probe. Manafort could get a longer prison sentence and potentially more charges. Manafort denies that he lied. Today, Mississippi voters decide the last U.S. Senate race of the midterms, choosing between a Republican backed by President Donald Trump and a Democrat who was Agriculture Secretary when Bill Clinton was in the White House. Republican Cindy Hyde-Smith is up against Democrat Mike Espy in a special election. In the NHL, the Rangers won. The Capitals beat the Islanders 4-1. The Devils lost along with the Bruins. In the NBA, the Celtics, Wizards, and Warriors were all winners. Monday Night Football, the Texans beat the Titans 34-17. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we're joined on this Tuesday morning by Simon French. He is the chief economist at Panmure Gordon. Simon, good to talk with you on this morning when trade tensions seem to be back in focus. And, you know, we've heard so much conflicting rhetoric from President Trump in terms of whether he would impose tariffs on China, whether China is willing to strike a trade deal with the U.S. How do you cut through the noise and assess what the impact would be should these trade tensions continue?
Yeah, good morning, Nathan, and great pleasure to join you. Look, I think what we have to hear from is the Chinese authorities. We've heard a lot from President Trump on the lead-in to these conversations that are going to take place in the margins of the G20 this weekend in Buenos Aires. What we haven't heard from the Chinese is whether there's any concessions going to be made that are going to delay or indeed eliminate the idea of a further round of tariffs broadening to another $260 billion worth of goods, and indeed whether we're going to see that tariff rate increase from 10% up to 25%. I think the ball is firmly in the Chinese courts, and if you want to talk about when we'll start to see the economic damage and indeed the damage done to equity markets start to be pared back, you have to see a negotiated settlement start to crystallize this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, what kind of damage have we seen so far? And if those tariffs were to be imposed at the level that the president is threatening, what kind of damage could we see?
Yeah, so far, global trade volumes have started to roll over, but it is difficult to attribute cause and effect here. While we've had a lot of rhetoric, the action has been mercifully limited. There are sectors, component parts imported in the inventory build in Q3, US GDP suggests that people are starting to change behavior. But in terms of its material impact on global growth, we haven't yet seen it. And I think that your question is very salient because it picks up to the point what long-term economic damage could take place if we escalate from here. And I think we're talking about sort of taking, in our base case, something like 50 basis points off global growth next year if the kind of tariff schedule we're talking about across all U.S.-Chinese trade starts to come into fruition in Q1 2019.
Yeah, I wonder whether there would still be a slowdown in global growth, regardless of whether increased tariffs happen. I mean, there's been so much growth over the last couple of years. I mean, wouldn't there just naturally be a slowdown just the way the cycle works?
I think it's a really good question because 2017 and the very start of 2018 saw global growth above trend. You saw a lot of global economies, the developed economies, eating up their big output gaps that had developed after the financial crisis and effectively eliminated those output gaps. That was free growth. That was above trend performance. It became harder in the second half of this year, and it will get harder still going into 2019 with a lack of spare capacity. So yes, you will see some mean reversion in global growth that we should expect. And of course, there is the challenge for all market participants to try and disentangle what is mean reversion in terms of developed world growth rates and what actually is additional as a result of protectionist trade practices.
Well, we got you on. We're going to be hearing from a great many Fed speakers today, not the least of whom Fed Vice Chair Richard Clarida and three regional bank presidents. What are you going to be listening for?
I'm going to be listening for any signals on the 2019 rate path. Richard Clarida has been a little bit vocal around, you know, the path approaching the neutral rate, or at least the short-term neutral rate in the U.S. economy. And what is the outlook regarding, you know, Fed strategy? Because we are in a pattern at the moment, aren't we, of 25 basis point increases every quarter. I think markets are skeptical whether that can be sustained into 2019. And you're looking for some indication as to whether both the tariff impact is slowing growth but also pushing up the inflationary picture, and have you got a word that no Fed speakers have used thus far but we need to start talking about, which is stagflation, which is a central bank's worst nightmare and the kind of thing we may have to be talking about later in 2019.
All right, we'll leave it there for now. Simon French, chief economist at Panmure Gordon. Lots to chew over, not the least of which are trade tensions between the U.S. and China. And, of course, the the overall global growth picture as the Fed weighs that rate path into 2019. Definitely going to be listening very carefully to what Clarida and those three regional bank presidents have to say later on today. As we take a forward look at the markets this morning, still looking for some direction here with S&P futures down 2 points, Dow futures up one, NASDAQ futures down by 18 points. 10-year Treasury yield is at 3.05%, the price 1/32nd higher, 2-year yields at 2.83%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. For breaking news wherever you are, Bloomberg and Twitter have launched TikTok, the first global news network designed for social media, offering live video coverage and hourly updated top news reports verified by Bloomberg at TICTOC on Twitter.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good Tuesday morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures and European shares are little changed to lower this morning as investors weigh the latest developments on trade. President Trump says he'll go ahead with plans to impose new tariffs on Chinese goods and raise the rate of current levies. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports that's if negotiations at this week's G20 meeting fail to produce a trade deal.
Trump has gone back and forth with whether to impose the added round of tariffs, and now he says he's likely to push forward with the $267 billion worth of duties, which would mean all remaining imports from the Asian nation. The carrot? That's unless negotiations with China's leader Xi Jinping produce a trade deal. The stick? It needs to happen before he and his Chinese counterpart meet at the Group of 20 meeting in Argentina starting at the end of this week. The rate, he says, could be either 10 or 25%, and Apple's iPhones and laptops from China could be hit, the president telling the Wall Street Journal Americans could very easily handle a 10% duty. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Bob, thank you. And checking shares of Apple, they're down more than 1.5% in early trading.
The Federal Reserve's top two officials speak today and tomorrow. We'll hear from Fed Vice Chairman Richard Clarida today and Chairman Jerome Powell. He addresses the New York Economic Club tomorrow.
The date's been set for Theresa May's showdown with Parliament over Brexit. Lawmakers will vote on the UK Prime Minister's agreement with the EU on December 11th.
Shares of Thomas Cook have lost a quarter of their value in Europe this morning. The UK tour operator reported annual profit below guidance that had already been cut twice during the summer season.
United Technologies will break itself up, capping months of pressure on CEO Greg Hayes. The company will separate its aerospace operations from its elevators and climate controls divisions.
And Bloomberg News has learned the NASDAQ is moving ahead with a plan to list Bitcoin futures despite the cryptocurrency's dramatic plunge over the past year. Checking Bitcoin now, it's higher on the day at $3,702.
And S&P futures are lower. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 4 points this morning. Dow futures down 14. NASDAQ futures down 24. The DAX in Germany now down about 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 3.05%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.83%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.4% or 19 cents to $51.82 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.2%, up $2.20 at $1,230.90 an ounce. The euro at $1.1320, the yen 113.59. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here with more. What's going on around the world, Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Trump said that migrants attacked U.S. border agents at a crossing north of Tijuana, Mexico, prompting Customs and Border Patrol to disperse tear gas. The president spoke at a rally in Tupelo, Mississippi.
We will not tolerate any form of assault or attack upon our border agents like happened yesterday, or any attempt to destroy federal property, overrun federal authorities, or bring chaos and violence to American soil. And if you look at what's happening along the border, you see what's happening.
Trump was in Mississippi to support Senate candidate Cindy Hyde-Smith in today's runoff election.
What's on the ballot tomorrow is not just my name, Cindy Hyde-Smith. It is your conservative values. That's what's on the ballot tomorrow.
A series of racial issues have complicated Hyde-Smith's campaign against Democrat Mike Espy.
People are really taking this election seriously, as they should. They know that I'm the candidate of change.
Espy spoke in Jackson, Mississippi. Prosecutors say former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort has breached his plea agreement with the Justice Department by lying to the FBI and special counsel Robert Mueller's office 2 months after he started to cooperate in the Russia probe. The head of the Senate Appropriations Panel says President Trump is holding firm in his insistence on $5 billion for a border wall in his year-end spending package. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Richard Shelby says that risks blowing up negotiations and triggering a partial government shutdown. The House has the spending bill at $5 billion, the Senate at $1.6 billion. Shelby says he can't tell if the president is just posturing, but he says he doesn't think it's a good idea to shut down the government, period. He says it could happen, though. Meanwhile, House Speaker Paul Ryan says members of the Republican leadership are scheduled to meet with the president today to talk about the rest of the congressional term. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President Trump is considering Michigan businessman John James to replace UN Ambassador Nikki Haley. James lost his election to the U.S. Senate this year in Michigan to Democratic Senator Debbie Stabenow in a state that helped Trump win the presidency in 2016. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, it was a rough weekend for the Rangers. Lost to Washington and Philadelphia by a combined 9-3. Better outcome last night at the Garden. Blue Shirts, 3 goals in the third period. Beat Ottawa 4-2. Henrik Lundqvist, 29 saves.
You know, we talked about it in the room here. We just have to realize what we are and what we need to do to have success. There's no in-between here. There's no, you know, relying on this and that. It's like, it starts with hard work and pay attention to the little details in the game. And when we do that, we can beat anybody, but if we don't, we can lose against anybody too. So.
The Islanders won games on Friday and Saturday, but lost last night at Barclays to Washington 4-1. The Isles scored in the opening minute, and not again. Sixth straight win for the defending Stanley Cup champs, who were going against their old coach, Barry Trotz, for the first time. Devils had a 2-0 lead at Florida, but lost 4-3 in overtime. Still just 2 road wins all season. NBA saw Kevin Durant go for 49 points as Golden State beat Orlando. 54 points for James Harden. Not enough. Houston lost at Washington in overtime. Monday Night Football, Houston down 10-0 early, scored the next 27 points. A 97-yard touchdown run from Lamar Miller. Deshaun Watson threw for two TDs, ran for another. Texans won their eighth in a row, 34-17 over Tennessee. The win coming just a few days after the death of Texans owner Bob McNair. Season's over for Bengals QB Andy Dalton due to a thumb injury. They'll turn to Jeff Driscoll. Jacksonville benching Blake Bortles for Cody Kessler. 21 years after Mack Brown left his coaching job at North Carolina for Texas, he's going back to Chapel Hill at the age of 67. The Atlanta Braves have signed free agents Josh Donaldson and Brian McCann. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, and just in, Amazon is reporting its biggest Cyber Monday shopping day in company history. In a statement, the e-commerce giant says its customers worldwide ordered more than 18 million toys and more than 13 million fashion items on Black Friday and Cyber Monday combined. 5:37 on Wall Street now. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands. The cover is on shady loans that are bankrupting America's small businesses. Also in this week's issue, why profit margin is shrinking at Facebook. Shira Ovide wrote the story for Bloomberg Businessweek.
The idea is that Facebook is spending so much money to repair of some of the damage that they've done that the company is going to be significantly less profitable going forward.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Businessweek. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Businessweek with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly, weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. 5:38 on Wall Street, that's time for the Tri-State Business Report and Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Nathan, New Jersey is closer to legalizing recreational marijuana. Legislative committees have approved it, along with a measure wiping out the criminal records of some drug offenders. The action puts bills on track for all but certain passage by the Assembly and Senate on December 17th. Well, on the day Amazon announced one of its new headquarters would be in Long Island City, Goldman Sachs finalized a deal to provide $83 million for a massive new apartment complex less than a mile away in Hunters Point South. The draw for Goldman was tax breaks meant to entice investors to plow money into low-income areas across America designated as opportunity zones. And Connecticut lawmakers are about to get a briefing on the state's fiscal situation and what to expect over the next few years. The report does warn of challenges, including fewer Medicaid dollars. At your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report, I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
All right, Ed, thank you. It's 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team now for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WoWo in Fort Wayne. Steel Dynamics plans to spend $1.8 billion to expand output.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're talking about waiting until next year before a PG&E fire relief bill will see the light of day.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on a UK fine for Uber over its handling of a 2016 cyber attack.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting President Trump claims he's pressuring GM to move production back to Ohio.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Also this morning, Google is running the risk of hefty fines from the European Union's beefed-up data protection watchdogs. EU consumer groups are accusing Google of abusing tools that track user locations. Seven European consumer groups say they'll file complaints with their national regulators. Google says it'll read the group's report to see if there's anything it can use. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Fairleigh Dickinson University Silberman College of Business, offering an executive MBA and a blended Saturday MBA that combines online and on-campus classes. Visit fdugrad.org/radio.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Amazon saying it saw its biggest shopping day in history on Cyber Monday with the most products ordered worldwide than any other day. It said on the 5 days starting with Thanksgiving and continuing through Cyber Monday, customers purchased millions more products compared to the same period last year. And it said company says the sales by small and medium-sized businesses worldwide grew more than 20% year over year on Black Friday. S&P futures, meanwhile, are moving lower. So are stocks in Europe. While gains in Asian equities were limited after President Trump said he'd likely increase tariffs again on Chinese imports just days before meeting with his counterpart Xi Jinping. S&P futures down 5 points. Dow futures down 24. NASDAQ futures down 26. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury, little change. Yield 3.05%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.83%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.1%, up 7 cents to $51.70 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.2% or $2.10 to $12.3080 an ounce. And the euro, $1.1314. The yen, 113.58. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, business officials say shutting down ports of entry at the U.S.-Mexico border near San Diego could cost local industries billions of dollars as the Trump administration grapples with an influx of immigrants. A member of the San Diego Chamber of Commerce says even temporary closures are creating traffic snarls and delays, clogging the border as vehicles lined up for hours to cross into the U.S. and already slowing economic activity. Voters in Mississippi will decide a runoff in a U.S. Senate race today. Republican Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith and Democrat Mike Espy are facing off. In the NHL, the Rangers won. The Capitals beat the Islanders 4-1. The Devils lost along with the Bruins. In the NBA, the Celtics, Wizards, and Warriors were all winners. In Monday Night Football, the Texans beat the Titans 34-17. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's 5:49
on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform that offers informed perspectives on a range of global topics, expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. Jennifer Ryan's in our London bureau. She's Bloomberg Opinion editor. And Jen, as we get set for the encounter between Presidents Trump and Xi at the G20 this weekend, Shuli Ren writes that China's blue-collar wave strengthens Xi's hand. So I guess President Trump isn't the only one with a base to cater to, huh?
That's exactly right. And she points out that in most countries, if you've got a slowing economy and a sinking stock market, your political leader is going to be under a lot of pressure. But that's not so in China, because a working class that numbers more than 400 million really has the president's back. Under his presidency, China's economic policies are favoring workers more than at any other time in recent decades. One key thing here is that there's been an awful lot of helicopter money showered down on shantytown redevelopments, and this has done a lot to improve the housing stock that are really widely used by China's working classes.
Now, of course, we've seen how much the trade tensions have weighed on Chinese equity markets. Ren says, though, that the blue-collar workers in China are immune to this.
That's right, because only about 7% are invested in stocks, and that's compared with more than a third of China's middle class. More to the point, 90% of workers own their own homes. So as long as property prices continue to hold up, the president's fan is never going to really feel so much that their wealth is being eroded.
Oh, so what could all this mean then for the trade negotiations coming up here?
Well, anyone who's hoping that China's president is just going to cave into Trump's demands because and seek a quick trade deal to relieve any of this economic pressure are really going to be likely to be disappointed, because when it comes to the masses, the president's just going to be as popular as ever.
All right. And we're continuing to watch the gyrations in cryptocurrency, including Lionel Laurent, who says the Bitcoin slump is starting to look like a real currency crisis, with the cryptocurrency down 80% in less than a year. Does Lionel think it's hit bottom?
Well, I mean, you want to ask yourself, where can it possibly go from here? And what he says is that this doesn't look like it's a bubble bursting. It looks more like a currency under attack. I mean, we started the year with a Bitcoin value of around, I don't know, $19,000, just about. And until this month, the $6,000 to $7,000 range seemed pretty unbreakable, and that was the floor in the price until it caved.
So does this latest leg down remind you of anything?
It certainly does. It reminds you of what central banks do when they're trying to defend their currencies in the face of heavy selling pressure, using their financial reserves to maintain a price level or a price range. You just have to look back to how Russia's central bank fought to defend the ruble in 1998, or the Bank of England tried to defend sterling in 1992. In both cases, the currencies held, then they wobbled, and then they broke. And that's what we're seeing with Bitcoin here.
But in this case, I mean, is there really any central bank firepower that can take on the heavy selling we've seen in Bitcoin?
Well, if you're being charitable, you might say that you've got a tight-knit community kind of banding together to protect their investment, because, you know, there is no central bank that can step in and provide and fulfill this role. But what Laurent says is that one place you might look is Tether, which is a token that claims to be backed one-to-one by hard currency, by U.S. dollars. Laurent cites a research paper by Raoul Paul, a former manager at hedge fund GLG Partners. And, you know, he points out that tethers, which are created in sizable waves, can be used to artificially prop up the price of Bitcoin. So the Justice Department has recently begun a probe here, and if it turns up that there's evidence of price manipulation, this year's sell-off will be about more than a cyclical bear market.
Bloomberg Opinion Editor Jen Ryan, thanks as always. Find more of these stories at Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
The House may hold a floor vote this week on legislation containing technical fixes to the 2017 tax law and temporary tax breaks known as extenders. St. Mary's County, Maryland is the largest local government to sue opioid manufacturers and distributors for the costs to address the opioid epidemic. And the U.S. Supreme Court has delayed its timeline for considering whether to grant review in a trio of cases that would decide whether employers can discriminate against LGBT workers without violating federal civil rights law.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, another legal news. Let's look at yesterday's Supreme Court arguments on an antitrust lawsuit accusing Apple of artificially inflating prices at its App Store. For more on this story, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks with Greg Stuhr, Supreme Court reporter for Bloomberg News.
The consumers say that we ultimately end up paying the cost of the commissions through higher app prices. And they also say that the case is not just about the commissions. It's about Apple's total control of the system for buying apps. They say, look, if you have an iPhone, you want to buy an app, the only place you can go is the App Store. And Apple at the App Store, you know, has some control over the prices that developers can charge. The consumers say that overall control is enough that it feels like you are buying the app directly from Apple, and therefore we should be allowed to sue Apple for inflated prices.
So antitrust cases sometimes, not always, but sometimes divide the Supreme Court along ideological lines. What can you glean from the justices' questions?
So this one sort of divided them along ideological lines. The four liberal justices all seemed like they were very inclined to let this lawsuit go forward. Justice Kavanaugh, the newest justice, might join them in that. And then you had two of the more conservative justices, Gorsuch and Alito, and they were asking a much bigger question. Justice Gorsuch in particular was suggesting that he doesn't like this direct purchaser requirement at all, and he would consider throwing out the 1977 Supreme Court ruling that imposed the direct purchaser requirement. If the court were to go that route, the consumers would be allowed to move forward with their suit. So you could end up with kind of a combination of rationales for letting this lawsuit go forward.
And that's Bloomberg Supreme Court reporter Greg Stuhr speaking with June Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. 5:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg ETF report brought to you by Oppenheimer Funds. Challenge the status quo with ETFs that adapt monthly to an ever-changing world. Find out more at oppenheimerfunds.com/ETFs. Here's Bloomberg's Pim Fox.
When in doubt, do both. That's what some ETF investors are doing. They're putting their money into cash equivalent ETFs as well as equity ETFs. Here to tell us more, Eric Balchunas, ETF analyst, Bloomberg Intelligence. So what are people doing?
We've had a couple nasty days in the market, some sell-off. It's been tough, but their money's coming in. But here's the thing. It's going into U.S. equity ETFs, but it's been coupled with a lot of buying of cash-like ETFs. So stuff that tracks ultra-short-term duration bonds or treasuries. So I think unlike last times when you might see people coming in and buying into the pain, they are buying in, but they're also buying into cash as a way to buffer that. So cash has been king this year, and ETFs that are basically offering that have done really well, taking in way more money than they should.
Bifurcation or diversification, does that count as a description?
Yeah, it's kind of like diversifying on the spot.
Well done. Thanks very much. Eric Balchunas, ETF analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence. This has been the Bloomberg ETF Report. I'm Pim Fox.
All right, Pim, thank you. S&P futures are down 5 points this morning. Dow futures down 21. NASDAQ futures down about 26. And the 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 3.05%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.83%. And the euro, $1.1315. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.